honoring covenant relationships in marriage, family, ministry team, and church life, and expressing Christ's compassion to reach the unsaved and meet the needs of the community. You know, we started off last week, you know, I wanted to kind of give you an idea of, you know, what all went into a covenant so you can see the seriousness of a covenant. I believe that with the apostolic insight that we have now, God has always had a plan for us. He's always wanted us to understand covenant and that sort of thing and stuff. And there's too many renegades in the body of Christ. There's too many people who they're relying on their abilities, their talents, their gifts, and that sort of thing and stuff. And they don't want to really follow and be instructed so that a mantle can be passed to them so that they can be effective and that sort of thing. So when we're talking about covenant and we really understand covenant, we know that these relationships is for divine purpose, and God wants to, you know, get his will in the earth. And so we have to be able to understand covenant. We have to be able to respect it, and we have to be able to honor those who God has placed us under and that sort of thing and stuff. Are y'all with me here? So let me define covenant again. Covenant is a written agreement or promise, usually under seal between two or more parties, especially for the performance of a common agenda, which can only be broken or nullified by death. See, that was the only way that a covenant could be nullified. It had to be by death. And so in a true godly covenant, it is not about what the other person can do for you, but what you can do for the other person, period. You know, not caring about, you know, what they can do for you. And our culture has bred so much selfishness in us till it's hard for us to even, you know, wrap our minds around covenant and how it has to do with us really helping somebody else and not looking for that in return. Now, let me say this. When it comes down to ministry, let me say, okay, let's just say, I want to know, I'm always asking God, what is it that I can do to follow the apostle closer, or to asking God for opportunity to serve and that sort of thing? Because I know that God has an agenda, and sometimes we can we must never let relationships become fleshly and common, because we're not going to fulfill the assignment that God has for us. And see, we've had a whole lot of that in the body of Christ. You know, we got a whole lot of these little pet relationships and that kind of thing and stuff. We don't have respect for nobody. And so somebody who's really trying to get something to us, that God is trying to use to get something to us, we really can't even receive it, because, you know, we have these egos and all this other stuff that's working, and all it's doing is just blocking up what God want to do. So a covenant provides protection and security that is needed for the parties to be honorable and accountable to each other on the journey together. You know, I told you about how, you know, when they cut covenant and that sort of thing, and how the farmer, and the warrior, you know, how they were accountable to each other. Y'all with me? You know, they were protecting, you know, the warriors would protect the farmer would feed them. So it wasn't about one, but watch this. Both of them had a part to play, right? But the part that the farmers played, all they had to be about was making sure that their plants were, they were doing the agricultural work and that sort of thing and stuff. They weren't supposed to be worrying about whether or not we're gonna be taken care of and that kind of thing and stuff, because that was the warriors. That was their job. Right. So they say, well, if they don't take care of us, we're not gonna feed them. That wasn't the farmer's job to think about that. I just have to do my part. So accompanied with quicken, make alive the relationship until it bears the fruit of purpose. The common denominator in all covenant relationships should be the fulfillment of God's agenda. You with me? And this even in marriage. A husband and wife supposed to reflect the Christ in the church. You understand what I'm saying? So a lot of times when people get married, you know, that selfishness come out, that beast come out. You understand what I'm saying? And if you not treat me right, I'm a hold back or whatever and stuff. When it's supposed to go into it, watch this. When a person get married, it's two people. Let me make sure I say this, of the opposite sex. Two imperfect people of the opposite sex. And the thing about it is, they already understand that they're not perfect. So you have to, the person have to concentrate on themselves, not on the other party, but on themselves. See, I remember, you know, I go to God. I said, Lord, you know, you need to do something with my wife. You need to do something with her. And, yeah, the Lord said, wait, let me see if I can do something with you first. See, well, I'm trying to put God on her. God point to me. God said, now, there are some things that if you were straightened up, you would see a difference in her. I said, Lord, it just don't seem fair. I come to you concerning her, and you flip the switch on me. You know what I'm saying? The script on me. And God said, no. God said, no. He said, because you concentrate on the wrong thing. You need to concentrate on becoming a better you. So a lot of times we looking at the other person when God is trying to do a work in us. My God. Boy, that's something we hate. You understand what I'm saying? That's something. I can't understand how these folk can go to God and God never tell them about them. God always tell you about the other person and never about yourself? No. Because God is trying to straighten both parties out. If that's something that you understand what I'm saying? So God is not going to speak to the husband about so he can correct the wife, and the wife so she can correct the husband. God going to speak to them individually. All right. Okay. Praise the Lord. All right. There is a said value, purpose, destiny, or intention that the parties involved in a covenant work towards together to fulfill. There's a said value, purpose, destiny, or intention that the parties involved in a covenant work towards together to fulfill. It's called what? The kingdom agenda. They work together until the common agenda is achieved. Now, covenant is enhanced by the spirit of sacrifice and selflessness. Sacrifice and selflessness. Covenant is not just an agreement, it's a lifestyle. The example of Jonathan and David. 1 Samuel 18. Turn down. First Samuel 18. My iPad like it want to be real slow tonight. First Samuel 18, verse 3. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe. Now, see, here go this. What I was sharing with you last week about the covenant practice and how they do. Now, look what he's doing. He's stripping himself off his robe that was upon him and gave it to David. See, he's in. Jonathan and David is coming to covenant together. Jonathan is Saul's son. He's the one that's the heir to the throne. You understand? But now he's giving David his robe that was upon him and gave it to David and his garment, even to a sword. Remember I told you, you know, they changed weapons. Whoever was your enemy has become my enemy and my enemy has become your enemy. So they changed sword and to his bow and his girdle. And David went out whensoever Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war. And he was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. So they cut covenant together. So David was just like, I mean, him and Jonathan was like, they were like blood brothers. You with me? See, the term, you know, we use the term blood is thicker than water. That's covenant talk. Blood is thicker than water. Okay. The blood, covenant, the water represents birth. Yes. Blood is thicker than water. So covenant is really thicker than birth when you really understand it. Hallelujah. All right. So then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was on him and gave it to David with his armor, including his sword, his bow and his belt. Now, the governing principles, honoring covenant relationship in marriage and in family and ministry and church life. Every breakthrough believer in the apostolic base must be trained to honor the bonds of covenant that exist within relationships ordained and joined by God. Those who walk in sin, deception and hypocrisy will reject any loyalty, commitment and integrity in any long-term relationship. You know, people who really don't have doing the right thing on their mind, they're going to reject it. A lot of folk don't understand loyalty. Loyalty is something that a whole lot of folk, I mean, they just can't wrap their minds around it. You understand? I believe that, you know, a husband and wife, they ought to be loyal to one another. You with me? There's no way. Okay. The reason why God is so concerned about us understanding covenant, because how can we get the job done if, okay, I'm in covenant, me and my wife in covenant, but here I am, I'm down the road somewhere. You understand what I'm saying? And so how can God really do what he's trying to do within our marriage? Because if you're not focused, if you're not, you don't understand covenant, you're going to fool around and be off base. And so now you can't even accomplish what God has called you to be able to accomplish as a family. You with me? Praise God. Hallelujah. So we must give value to God-ordained relationship between its, whether it's between Christians or otherwise. There are no two standards for a relationship. In fact, the relationship between Christians should go beyond the basic righteousness of man and operate on divine principles. We must take it to the next level. All right, I want to show you something. Okay, when my son, I think my son may have been in, I don't know, he may have been in about ninth grade or something like that. And so he and Darnell was going to school together. And so they got in a fight. They got in a fight. Now, here it is. I'm following dad. My son, our son got in a fight. Man, look, I got my son. I said, look, boy. I said, listen to me. I said, God has brought us together for a reason. There's a covenant between us. This cannot happen. You understand? I said, you understand? He said, yeah. And so he tried to tell me what happened. I said, I don't want, it does not matter what happened. What happened is not even important to me. What is important to me is that God has set us up with this family, and Satan ain't finna break it up. Now, you know what you're going to do when you go to school tomorrow. You are going to go and apologize. But daddy, nothing. You understand what I'm saying? So it was not. Watch this. It was not Apostle's job to talk to Darnell about my son because we're the ones that following them. See, people can't, you know, well, this is my son is no better, no, is no less than, no, you got it all mixed up. It has nothing to do with somebody being less than another person. It has everything to do with what God has ordained.
Yeah, that's right.
Y'all better listen to me, because sometimes you can get yourself, Satan will use your children.
Yeah.
Are y'all with me here? Okay, let's just say, your child, you know, you go to church here at Word of Life and something went on. Your child come back. Well, I don't want to go back to the church because, no, you don't sit down and talk about, well, you just find you another church, baby. No. You go KO behind back. We going back. Whatever was wrong, you going back and apologize. Well, I didn't do nothing. That's okay. Apologize anyway. Because we cannot abort what God has called us to do. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So he went and he apologized. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, if I hadn't been man enough to run my house, see, because my wife, she said, well, baby, listen, hear him out. See what he got to say. I don't want to hear what he got to say. You don't understand. This had nothing to do with by what happened. This Satan is trying to stop something that God has orchestrated here.
Right.
And we ain't falling for it.
Amen.
What? Glory to God. So we got that straight. And the rest is history.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. When Darnell got ready to get married, dude was one of his best men. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So we couldn't do that. See, when you understand covenant, you don't allow nothing to break that. Now watch this. I'll tell you something else. I can go a little further than that with it. There is nothing, absolutely nothing, that apostle can do to run me off.
Come on, sir.
I can get rebuked. I can get reprimanded. I can get sacked out. Mm-hmm. I've been sacked out before. But there's nothing. Because watch this. When God, that's my clock right there, right? All right. When God had Elijah, found Elijah, man, Elijah was calling on fire. Elijah was burning folk up.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? How in the world? Elijah could have said, man, I am not going to follow this dude. This dude is setting people afire. I may be the next one to catch a fire here. You understand what I'm saying? No. I'm just going to have to burn. You understand what I'm saying? Because this is God's will for my life. And I cannot take the road of least resistance. That's what a lot of people look for. They look for the road of least resistance. Well, I'm going to go until, you know, somebody hurt my feelings or something. So what about your feelings? Let your feelings get hurt. Praise the Lord. If you got to cry, go ahead and cry. Get over it and then just get back in the game. You understand what I'm saying? Now, what I'm saying here now, some of y'all is shaking y'all head saying yes, yes, yes. But in your heart, you're saying, I don't know if I can do that. Because you don't understand covenant.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. But when you understand covenant, man, look, you don't let nothing get in the way of what God is doing.
Amen.
Your ego, your pride, and all that other old kind of stuff. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
I was talking to a guy today. And so I was sharing with him how, because see, people try to label me as cold-hearted. And they try to label me as somebody who don't really walk in love. Because if somebody, if they walk away from the apostle,
that's it. Come
Wait a minute, wait, hold on. When they, see, they walk away from the apostle. If we've been had a close relationship, that's over.
Amen.
Now see, folk call me cold for that. But watch this. This is what God told me. You can do what you want to do. God told me, He said, you have to protect your heart. Because if you continue to communicate with these folk, they're going to say something. Once you hear what's said, it's a seed that's been sown. And you got to deal with it. The only thing, watch this, y'all. The only thing a seed need is the right condition. Then it's going to come up and all of a sudden you're going to be one. You're going to be looking sideways, you know, at folk and stuff, you know. So God told me, he said, you be cordial, be nice. Hey, how you doing? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Good to see you. I'm keeping on going because I can't let you watch it. And sometimes people don't really have to say nothing directly. They can say it indirectly. Well, you know, my church doing real good since, you know, I'm not with y'all no more. Oh, we got this here going. We got that going. What they're saying is that since I left Apostle, everything going up for me. That's the signal they're trying to say without saying it. So we won't talk. See, but this is what folk will say. Well, you think that's walking in love? Yes, it is.
Yes, sir.
I love them. I love them enough to stay away from them.
Yeah.
Because watch this, y'all. Again, you're going to abort my destiny.
Come on.
This is between me and the Lord.
Right.
What's going on with you is between you and God.
Right.
So I can't let you interfere with what's going on with me and God. You understand what I'm saying? And so if we don't have that kind of mindset, man, when it comes down to covenant, I'm telling you, Satan gonna whoop you. He gonna whoop you going and coming.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I got a few more minutes here. All right. So marriage is a covenant, not a contract. It does not operate as a partnership between two people who mutually bless each other. That's not a marriage. You know, Valentine's Day just left. You know, and the wife bought the husband bought the wife something. The wife didn't buy the husband nothing. All of a sudden, you know, they mad. Okay, so it's about gifts now. That's not what a covenant is about. You know, we can give gifts because we love each other, but the gift don't make our love.
That's right.
A day don't make our love.
That's
our love got to be strong before the day
comes.
Y'all still with me here? In a contract, these reciprocal benefits can hold a marriage relationship together, but the force to hold the couple together will become weaker over the years. No, it ain't about what we can give. I remember, man, my wife, oh, Jesus. You know, here I was out of work. You know, I was seeming to finish it, so it was winter time. Didn't have any work. Didn't have none. So I told my wife, we was young. I said, look, I can't take care of you the way you need to be taken care of. I said, why don't you just go ahead and find somebody that can take care of you? I said, because I just can't do. I think you deserve better than I can give you. Guess what she said? She said, if we're going to do it bad, we're going to do it together. I said, God dog it. Oh, God. I said, praise the Lord. So watch this. So do you think after we've been together 40-something years? Yeah, we've been together 40-something years. We've been married 37. But do you think I'm going to let some little floozy come and bat in her eyes? You understand what I'm saying? I don't care how good she looks. I don't care how fine she is. Will not get my attention. Because watch this. Soon as something come up, they'll walk out.
That's right.
This woman here was there when we didn't have nothing.
Yes.
Look, some folk will love you as long as you got something.
That's right.
But when all that go, they go out, they go along with it. You understand what I'm saying? So that girl proved herself. You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Was that when I have nothing? Man, them old folks said they didn't have a pot to pee in and a window to chuck it out. Y'all excuse me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right. Till death do us part can only be fulfilled when a relationship is founded on covenant, not just a contract or marriage license. When we understand the nature and spirit of covenant, we can see how it will protect us from the corruption that is in the world by lust. God is a God of covenant, and all his dealings with mankind have been on the basis of covenant. Everything that God does, he do it on the basis of, as it relates to mankind, he always do it on the basis of covenant. God could not do what he needed to do in the earth until he could find a covenant man who was Abraham, who he could trust. You understand? And so once God found a man he could trust, and so watch this, out of that covenant relationship came a nation. Out of that nation came a family. Out of that family came a woman. And out of that woman came the Messiah.
Yeah, that's right.
You see, God was setting it up all the time. You understand what I'm saying? He was setting that thing up all the time. But God never works in the human race without covenant.
Right.
Hallelujah. In covenant living with God, he is bound to honor his word. And we are duty bound to maintain our part of the covenant. God's word is full of promises, but we must do our part so that the promise becomes covenant. All right, we'll pick up next week. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right. Glory to God. All right. Yes, sir.